The first week of OTAs is in the books for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but we want to talk about Brian Flores because we've seen him at work and him putting his fingerprints right on the linebacker crew. We'll talk about him, Chase Claypool, talking more like a responsible leader and all the things happening at OTAs. I'm Chris Carter of the Locked On Steelers podcast. Joining me today is Jenna Harner of Channel 11 WPXI. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things of the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, hit the like button if you enjoy it. Hit the subscribe button to our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes, as well as our bonus episodes and our breaking news content whenever that happens. We thank you for making the Locked On Steelers podcast your first listen every day. Joining me on Fridays is Jenna Harner. We missed you last week, but we're glad to have you this week. How you doing, Jenna?
I missed you guys last week too. It's just been insane, as you know, but I'm so happy to finally be back. OTAs are in full swing. We're back in locker rooms.
Life is really good. And it's funny because for Jenna and I, we're in a unique spot because we didn't start being on the scene at practices and in locker rooms at the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex until COVID. So we haven't been allowed in. So like the first day we were both kind of like, okay, let's see what these look like. Right. Yep. So it's been interesting, but Jenna, I wanted to talk to you about something we've been able to see a little bit up close. We've heard a lot about how Brian Flores would be an interesting addition to the Steelers coaching staff. We knew that he would work with linebackers or something along those lines. And this week we got to see him working up close and personal with Devin Bush and Miles Jack. And he's worked with other defensive players. He wasn't just limited to linebackers, but he was working really close with them on attack angles, coverage angles, jumping different passes, how to work those things in there. And it got really interesting to see that working. Miles Jack also said this on Steeler Nation Radio when he was talking to our friend Wes Euler, saying that, you know, that Brian Flores was really the main reason. This is a quote. He said, that's really the main reason I came here is because I knew I was going to get coached up with Coach Flores. He's a head coach. For me to have him on a one-on-one basis to coach up the linebackers, I think it's stealing for me. And this was something that you and I talked about months ago when we learned about Brian Flores, is that could be a motivating factor for players to join the Steelers. It looks like it was, and we're starting to see him kind of get those early fingerprints on these guys as they're getting acclimated to working with the Steelers.
And Chris, you and I obviously are at these OTAs. We're kind of seeing everything unfold, and there are certain things we are allowed to report and not, but just watching the way that Flores interacts with these guys, I think has been what's really stuck out to me, to a point where, with, you know, the Steelers have some multiple practice fields and, you know, running backs are over here and, you know, offensive lineman guys are here. And then they have all the different, you know, position groups kind of working with each other. But I found myself like sitting in or standing and really, really honing in on Flores working with these guys and just kind of listening to him and how he worked with them. And I can completely see why so many of these guys are like, yeah, we want to play for this guy. We want to hear what he has to say. Just like the way that he's interacting with them, the way that he's working with them. I mean, as a former athlete, like I would want to play for this guy. I mean, he's very positive. He's very upbeat. He's very vocal in what we've been seeing, but you can really kind of see he's taken time with these guys to be like, hey, no, we didn't do that right. Let's do this correctly. Like, let's take a minute to go back and do this. And he's like, hey, you're here. Here's why you're here. I feel like he explains things really succinctly, but also really well. And that's something that I've just kind of taken away, but it's kind of obvious why. I mean, just, you know, why these guys and why a lot of the players in Miami loved playing for him. You can really kind of start to see it. And again, this just seems to be such a benefit for those linebackers, even, you know, the guys in general, because he hasn't just been limited to them. He's been working with some of the other defensive guys. But you can see kind of why these guys really enjoy what he brings to the table, what he has. And clearly, I mean, he has a wealth of knowledge as a head coach.
Right.
That has to just be for these guys. Like, oh my God, like Miles Jack said, I get one-on-one time with this guy. This never happened. things.
And I think that's the whole point of this here is that Brian Flores, you know, he became a respected head coach in his time with the Dolphins. And now even more respected, you know, a lot of players are respecting the lawsuit that he's put up against the league. But even beyond, you know, the stance that he's taking, his work as a coach is respected. And there was a reason why he was able to, you know, be the first Miami Dolphins head coach. And since I think 2002, they said to get back to back winning seasons, for them. That's to me is something that's going to continue to resonate. And, you know, the Steelers really need the linebacker quarter beat to improve this year. Joe Schobert kind of held it down as an emergency situation. Devin Bush had a rough year last year. We haven't had a chance to talk to Devin Bush yet, but I do think it will be interesting to see how much progress he's able to make this year and how quickly Miles Jack can get acclimated to working with the Steelers and how well they can come together as a pair. If Brian Flores is a big part of those two becoming a really important force for the Steelers defense and fixing the linebacker group, it would be, I'd say, a feather in his cap, but also it'll be like the Steelers be like, man, like when they signed Brian Flores, it was like the ultimate, like, duh move. Like, this is such a brilliant idea. But, and if it can pay dividends, it would put them in a position where their defense would be back on track to maybe being one of the best in the NFL. Again, it's just, that's why it's so interesting to watch him kind of just talking them through all their different things and seeing how quickly they're responding. And you can sense the respect on the field too, whenever he's calling things out and they're hopping right to it.
Yeah, that's something that's absolutely incredibly noticeable, is not only they're listening to what he has to say, but they want to hear it all. They want to soak all of it in. I mean, you can kind of just see it in their eyes and in their body language and the way they respond to him. And of course, this is just such an added benefit, right? I mean, again, this guy should be a head coach somewhere in the National Football League. And the fact that the Steelers have him being able to work with a position group that clearly, you know, needed some work after last year. And obviously we're not talking about TJ Watt or Alex Highsmith by any means, right. But when I say Alex Highsmith too, I mean, for a young guy like that to be able to learn from a guy like Brian Flores, I think is also going to pay dividends for what he's doing. And even again, TJ Watt, who is the reigning defensive player of the year, there's always, I mean, when we talked with him today, he said, you know, there's always more to learn. There's always more I want to do. There's always that next level I want to go. You want to kind of focus on all the tiny little details, because if you're not focusing on the details, the small details, somebody else out there is, and they're going to be better than you. And I almost wonder if that's a little bit of Flores's influence too. Obviously, TJ Watt is probably one of the hardest working guys that we know across the National Football League. But I do wonder if part of that, you know, he can take things to even a next level, like he was talking about, and probably in part because of the influence Brian Flores has.
That's certainly a big question here is what does he, you know, how do these guys grow as leaders as well? Because Brian Flores, what people don't understand is that the head coach isn't always responsible for just calling all the plays. The head coach is the guy who kind of brings it all together. They work with both coordinators to put together the game plan. They steer the ship. That's how Mike Tomlin operates. But when you're at that level, it's because you've understood all the lower levels. You've understood how to be that guy that does the minute things, that works with the players directly on this specific job and work so that you can go to the coordinator. If you're a position coach, you're going to the coordinator and saying, hey, these are our strengths. This is the game plan that you should be putting together with, for our guys, or these are our weaknesses. And these are the things you can avoid. And then when you're the coordinator, you're taking that information, putting it all together and presenting it to your head coach, having a guy who has been at that head coach level to be at this area where he can be the person that's on the ground talking to the linebackers, showing them how to improve and how to fit into the grander scheme. That can only be a big boost. And I think we're seeing just the early parts of it in these OTAs.
Yeah, and if this is just like the foundation for what we're going to see come mini camp, come training camp, I'm excited to kind of see the growth and, you know, what to expect from these guys. And I think, too, a lot of people have so much focus on Devin Bush and how is he going to look coming into the season? Is he going to get back to the player he was before his ACL injury? Is he going to get back to the player they envisioned when they drafted him? We might see his potential in terms of what level he thinks he can reach. And that could be, you know, because of Brian Flores, or at least facilitated in that way, just because of the fact that, again, he has such a wealth of knowledge. He has such a deep book to kind of reach into and say, hey, let's work on this. Let's focus on this. And like you were saying, you know, he spent a lot of time with Devin Bush and Miles Jack. And I am going to be really intrigued to kind of hear how both of them have responded to him. I mean, obviously in person, you know, locker room is sometimes a little tricky. Some of the guys, you know, they'll hang out on the field, the reps and things along those lines until they know that, you know, we're out. But I'm going to be very intrigued to kind of hear just the influence that Flores has, especially on Devin Bush, and just, you know, what he's adding to his game, what he's taking from Flores, and just the type of coach, positional coach and leader he is.
No, I agree, because if Brian Flores is able to help kind of steer Devin Bush back to being the player that they picked him at 10th overall to be, yeah, it's going to make a world of difference for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Also, if he can help these guys, either one of those guys, become leaders, it'll be something that helps, again, steer with this defense to being not just good, not just really good at pass rushing, but being one of the best defenses in the NFL, which I think they really need to be this year if they want to be truly competitive. We'll see how those steps keep taking forward. But I want to talk to you guys also about a specific player on the offense who started to sound different in his tone when we talked to him on Thursday. We're going to talk about that in just a second and who we're talking about. But first, we got to talk to you guys about Athletic Greens. And Athletic Greens, y'all know about them. I've been talking about them for a while. They're an amazing partner to the Locked On Podcast Network, and they produce an amazing product called AG1. What's AG1? It's the best health drink out there, and it's something that I take every single morning. With AG1, it's helping my gut health, it's giving me more energy, it's optimizing my immune system, and as an asthmatic, it's helping me breathe a lot easier. I've been taking it for over 2 months now, and it doesn't taste like it's super healthy. It's not hard to gulp down. It's just a mild tropical taste that I look forward to each morning right before my breakfast. And with one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all the things. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into the flu and cold season. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day, and that's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. It costs less than $3 a day, and it contains less than 1 gram of sugar and supports better sleep quality. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. And then that way you can take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter. She's Jenna Harner, and we're talking about your Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, Jenna, we got to talk to a specific Steelers wide receiver today who, if you were asking people just a little bit ago, people were probably worried or wondering if Chase Claypool would be able to turn things around. He had a few not so great steps last year. He had his incident where he was pointing with the ball in the Minnesota Vikings game. Even before that, he was talking about how the Browns were going to get clapped or anything like that after they lost to the Browns in the playoffs. So he's had his moments where people have kind of pointed and said, it's not the greatest moment for Chase Claypool. But this year is his third year, and the third year is often very important for rookies, for people on the rookie, not rookies, people on their rookie deals to establish themselves so that they can get the right kind of contract. I thought Chase Claypool was very mature in his responses in the locker room today. When we were talking to him, he seemed like he understood that, hey, there's a lot more responsibility on me now. I'm not just the kid who came in as a rookie. I'm not just a second year player who had a really good first year. I'm one of two wide receivers this team kept from last season, and we have to step it up in a very young offense.
Yeah, you mentioned the word mature, and that was exactly what stuck out to me, almost to a point where I was almost, I don't want to say taken aback because I feel like that feels very aggressive, but right. I was very impressed. I turned to our photographer at Channel 11, Mark Massa, afterwards, who, you know, is filming it. And I'm like, did he seem different? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, you could just sense he was very mature, very collected, and very honest in the way that he answered us when we were talking to him in the locker room today. Like, the first thing too is, you know, when we go up to guys, you usually are like, hey, can we, you know, chat with you for a little bit? And they'll either tell you yes or no. And he's like, well, he's like, I have a flight to catch quit soon, but like, I got 5 minutes. And then I was like, I almost, when he said I have a flight to catch, you were almost like, okay, you know, he's probably not going to talk today. And then he's like, yeah, but I got 5 minutes, and turns around and gave us a lot more than 5 minutes in terms of, you know, just talking about him needing to kind of take a leadership role. I asked him, I'm like, you know, do you feel like where you are right now, you need to kind of take that next step? And he was like, yeah, I really do. And he kind of talked about, like you said, like we, you and I were talking about earlier, you know, his progression at Notre Dame. And so, you know, when he came in, he really wasn't a vocal leader. He really kind of wasn't, you know, taken charge by any means. And he felt like he kind of came into the Steelers that similar way where he didn't need to in his first or second year. But now he's the only guy, you and I mentioned this, he's the only guy here at OTAs that was on this team in terms of receivers last year.
I agree. That's important because when you think about it, you know, the Steelers for the longest time, because of Antonio Brown, really, the Steelers have had this continuity where they've been able to say, well, hey, your receiver room, you've got the veterans you want, because for a while you had Antonio Brown. Well, he was gone. Well, you still had Juju hanging around. You had James Washington hanging around. You had Deontay Johnson. Well, Juju is now with the Kansas City Chiefs. James Washington with the Dallas Cowboys. Deontay Johnson isn't at OTAs, which Chase Claypool confirmed to us. He says also he expects him to be there, and he thinks that Deontay, he expects he'll be there when minicamp arrives, and he thinks that, he said Deontay Johnson's working extremely hard wherever he is. He's just doing his thing. But Chase Claypool is the lone receiver when you think about who's the veteran on the team with experience with the team.
Yeah. And it's insane because he's in his third season.
Yeah. He's in his third season and he's still figuring things out. And it sounded like to me, like he kind of looked around the room and at least he understands right now is like, I can't be that guy who, you know, people look to and it's like, oh man, he's not a leader. You know, he's a young dude that's kind of wilding out a little bit. It seemed to me like he is taking a different approach to how this season is happening. And it makes me wonder, one, how will that produce on the field for him as a receiver, but also how will it produce in the locker room? What kind of chemistry will it click for these guys? Because there's two rookies now in that wide receiver room. We also talked to Miles Boykin for a little bit today, and he pointed out, he's like, you know, it's been great reuniting at Chase because they were boys at Notre Dame for several years.
Yep. And that, I mean, that in itself too, I think is going to be such a big factor, having, again, Miles Boykin also kind of a veteran in the sense too, because of his, you know, how young this offense, how young that receivers room is and how new it is in the sense that also this is Boykin's first year with the Steelers. But I think that this step for Chase Claypool is going to be really important. And he realized that. You could really sense he emphasized that. And he was asked about his play last year. He was asked about what he needs to improve on, what he's focusing on. And it's funny because I think that Steelers fans are going to be really excited to hear this. He talked about, you know, going for the 50-50 balls, like leaving his feet at the wrong time. I mean, that in itself, that's, I feel like anybody I talked to when it was, you know, what, you know, oh, Chase Claypool doing this, you know, can't get the 50-50 balls, all that. He recognized that. He really did. And he kind of admitted, you know, last year he didn't, I'll backtrack. I'm not going to say he said like last year was terrible by any means. And he kind of, you know, backed some stats up and said, you know, hey, people looked at my first year and said, you know, wow, it was kind of this breakout year and my stats were similar last year, but he knows that there was improvement that needs to be done because he also realizes that this is a big year for him in terms of contract, you know, a couple of years down the road when his rookie deal's over.
No, I agree. And to me, it's important that he's recognizing that he's like, hey, that he's saying the right things as far as what he needs to improve upon. Because it'd be one thing if like, because he is right. He was only like 30 yards shy of where he was as a rookie. Where he diminished was his touchdowns. And he went from 11 touchdowns to 2. And that was just, that's not what you were hoping for Chase Claypool. And you were also hoping with the way that he produced in his rookie season that his second season would be more and not even close to the same. So, But again, quarterback situation, Steelers passing offense was very limited last year. I think that there's an understandable mulligan there. If you, you know, when we could say we're in the future, we're looking back on Chase Claypool's career, this won't be a thing that sinks him. What will sink him though, is if he doesn't improve from this year. And it sounds like he understands the things that he wasn't doing well. Like you said, the 50-50 balls, he was letting passes get to his chest or his body a little bit too much. He was, like you said, he was leaving his feet too early sometimes. And you know what? It's one thing to say it. You still got to see him doing it. But it tells me that if this is a guy, we saw videos of him working out on Instagram Live and stuff throughout the off season. It shows me that maybe that's part of what he is working on. We saw Deontay Johnson work on catching the ball a lot last year. And whereas at the end of the year, you saw it sneak back in for a large part of the year, you did see Deontay Johnson's catching improve because of how hard he worked. If Chase Claypool can take a similar kind of rise and improve there while Deontay Johnson's also rising and you're also getting George Pickens and Calvin Austin to contribute, I think that's what the Steelers will need. And again, if he's doing that while also being kind of one of the more mature guys in the locker room where he kind of sets the tone, he doesn't make the silly on-field mistakes, he's not getting into petty squabbles with opponents, but keeping the guys focused, if he can help be part of that message, it will help so much in what the Steelers are trying to put together as a locker room. Because remember, Jenna, this is an extremely young offense. Like, you know, we went from, you had Ben Roethlisberger, Marquise Pouncey, and David DeCastro. They were one of the oldest groups in the NFL a few years ago to now they're one of the youngest.
It's crazy. It really is insane just to look at, like, we've talked about the youth of this offense and, you know, there's questions on, again, who's going to be the quarterback, but then you look at the receivers and you look at, you know, Pat Freiermuth is, you know, the elder statesman tight end and it's his second season. Najee Harris is expected to carry a huge workload this year and it's his second season, and understandably so with just the talent that those guys have. But for Claypool too, you know, we're seeing too, you want to see leadership out of a guy like him. And we are seeing it a little bit in terms of some of the guys that we've talked to. I know we're going to touch on that in a little while, but it's encouraging. And I think a lot of Steelers fans, you know, want to see maturity out of a guy like Claypool after some of the stuff that we've seen from him, especially the on the field stuff last year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think a lot of this also depends on how this translates over to a lot of the younger players, because like we were just talking about, whereas Chase Claypool's the third year wide receiver, and you think typically that would make him the young buck in the room, you know, him and Deontay Johnson's a fourth year player, he's the third year player, you got two rookies behind them, Miles Boykin also a fourth year player coming into the roster. They're going to have to set a tone. Najee Harris is a second-year player, and he's looking like he could be a guy that's a leader. Pat Freiermuth, a second-year player, he's trying to get into that. Two of the, I think the three oldest are the offensive line. Kevin Dotson will be 26 when the season starts. Mason Cole's 26. Chukwuma Okorafor and James Daniels are both 24 years old. This is an extremely young group, but I want to talk more about this young group and some of the things that we're seeing. Just fraternizing and the things that are kind of looking cool, like when we're looking at chemistry and things that we're seeing when we're at OTAs. We'll talk more about that right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast right after this. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter. She's Jenna Harner of Channel 11 WPXI. So Jenna, I wanted to take a step back. We've been very hyper-focused on just the things that they're saying that's, like, you know, football oriented and coaching and leadership and strategy and technique and things like that over the past few days. But I want to take a step back and just get the vibe that we're getting from some of these players and the more personable side of things with some of these guys, because it's not just that. Like, we talked to George Pickens and, you know, he was talking about how, you know, for example, like, you know, people were asking him, we were all trying to ask him, like, you know, what's the biggest adjustments that you're making, you know, coming to the NFL, playing for the Steelers, working with, you know, and he was like, honestly, the biggest changes that he's moved from Georgia to Pittsburgh and in the weather. And I was just like, huh, that's a simpler answer than I was. I'm sitting here thinking about the pro style offense or working with, you know, working with guys and other receivers that are of the caliber. Nope, he kept it that way. And it's been interesting seeing guys kind of adjust, you know, making those type of adjustments, not just the, you know, the on the field adjustments, but the life adjustments as they're dealing with time with the Steelers.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, because when we were talking with him, you know, he was talking about again, going back to leadership, but he was talking about the leadership in the wide receivers room and just in the team as a whole, because that was something too that would intrigue me. You know, he talked about, you know, Chase Claypool being one of those guys that was kind of, you know, showing the ropes and things like that. But he also just mentioned like pretty much every position group. He listed out like everything. It was like, you know, yeah, sometimes when you go to other guys, you know, you go to safeties, you go to linebackers. Like he even mentioned guys on the defensive positions. And I'm like, this is intriguing to me. But this, that also stuck out to me from him, just in terms of you can see so many of these young guys are just trying to soak it all in. And they're like, how can I get as much from everybody as I can to be as ready as I can be come whenever my number gets called?
Yeah, right. And I think that's a positive sign for him, is that he doesn't seem like — I thought it was also interesting how we talked to George Pickens, you know, like I think it was Josh Roundtree of 93.7 The Fan. He asked the question along the lines, like, you know, who are your favorite receivers watching? You know, and you saw George Pickens say, like, well, they were, you know, talking, but like, he was like, he said, like, you know, Odell Beckham Jr., Cooper Kupp, and Davante Adams, but he said, like, you know, I don't really care about them anymore, because I'm working on my craft. And I found that a very interesting answer, because it shows to me, like, he's not awed by being here. Like he's not coming into the NFL thinking like, I made it. Like, you know, I'm playing next to, you know, Chase Claypool, Deontay. There's TJ Watt right across the from the lockers from me. So like, you know, he's not in awe about this. It seems like he's very much embracing where he's at, and understanding he has to put things together rather quickly if he wants to make a splash as a rookie.
And he seemed very poised, did he not?
Yes, he did.
Like that was something that stuck out to me too. Like if you hadn't, you know, obviously if we didn't know, but if I was coming in that locker room for the first time and talked to him, didn't look at names, didn't look at how long these guys have been here, I would not have known he was a rookie, just to be like completely honest in that sense, because of just the way he answered his questions and carried himself. And again, he, like you said, he's not in awe. It's not this, oh my gosh, I'm here, like everything, like wide-eyed and bright. He's just ready to work. He's getting down to work. And you could hear, you know, him talking about, you know, confidence and having confidence and why that's such a big thing. And you could see that. But to me also, I love when guys do this, because yes, in professional sports, there's a line where you got to toe between confidence and cockiness and how much of each is too much type thing. And he was seemingly to me today, when we talked with him, the perfect example of confidence, but not cockiness, where he's like, hey, I'm here. I did all the work. I put in all the work to get here, but I am not nearly where I want to be in terms of the level I know I can go. And there's so much more that I can do. And just seeing that in a guy so young, I mean, obviously I don't want to like put comparisons in that way, but it kind of reminded me of the way almost Najee Harris carries himself. Pickens to me seems a little bit more soft spoken, or just, you know, Najee has a very big personality, which is phenomenal to see. Oh my gosh, he's been so fun to watch too during all OTAs. I mean, I keep joking too, you know, you and I have talked about this. I think one of his quads are two of mine.
It's insane. I've said this, but like Najee Harris looks another level of jacked. Like he looked big when he came last year, but like his legs, like Mark Caboli and I were just like looking like, how are they that big? Like, and he just looks ridiculously thick, and not like overly so, like way too, like the way too bulky kind of thick that you get when you just hit your hip in the upper body, you're hitting the weights too hard. He's quick, he's nimble, he's explosive, and you see him, he still has that energy. You know, there was a moment where like Pat Freiermuth caught like a really tough pass, and like Najee Harris just started yelling, and he just started like celebrating with him real quick. And it was just like, man, like look at this guy and the energy that he brings. But again, this is what I think is kind of cool, is that George Pickens is doing that, is figuring things out, and he's being around this young, energetic offense that's finding its identity. For years, the identity of the Steelers was Ben Roethlisberger on offense. Find a way to work around Ben Roethlisberger. You know, he had Antonio Brown, he had Le'Veon Bell, Marquise Pounce, David Cash, but Ben was kind of the focus. This is a clean slate. We don't know what this group is going to be like. We have basically an offensive line that's all trying to prove itself. You know, Najee Harris is and Pat Freiermuth are second-year players. Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool have had flashes but haven't had a chance to really establish themselves consistently. And you're also seeing these guys start to you know, relate off each other, or just kind of build their relationships. Like, Jenna, you had a great moment with Pat Freiermuth talking about Kenny Pickett.
That was hilarious. And I say, I didn't ask that question. That was Jim Wexel. But again, these guys, we saw some of their personality. I think it also helps, again, us being back in locker rooms, having more of this casual setting where these guys aren't on Zoom or they're not up at a table in a press conference and we're raising our hand and getting the microphone. Like, you're having these one-on-one or, you know, media scrum settings that aren't as intense. But Pat Freiermuth was asked about, you know, being a Penn State guy, his team drafting a quarterback from Pitt. And he laughed and said, you know, obviously I have no ill will towards Kenny. He's great, you know. And then he was asking, you know, did you play against you guys played against each other, right? And he's like, yeah, we played each other twice. And then he proceeded to just like off the top of his head rattle off both scores and the times he beat them. And I'm like, I joked with him. I'm like, yeah, you don't remember that like off the top of your mind at all, do you? but we're seeing these young guys with their personalities, and I think that's what's going to be really cool about the way that this offense comes together, whoever ends up winning the quarterback one job to start the season. And then, you know, all the receivers, all the running backs, all these young guys, because like we said, it's a very, very, very young, you know, a lot of these guys are first, second, third, fourth year players, which is insane. But it was interesting too, because I was talking to Kevin Dotson about that. And I was sitting there almost forgetting that Kevin Dotson is going into
his third year.
Yeah, his third year, which like him and Chase Claypool, you put it together, but it feels like it's just been so long that you're like, oh yeah, you have been here for this long already.
Yeah.
But he was saying too, like he admitted that, you know, we're everything. It feels fresh. It feels new. It feels like we've kind of, you know, obviously with Ben, it was such a great chapter, but he's like, we kind of turned the page a little bit just in terms of, you know, the personnel that they have. And he's like, we're figuring it out. We're figuring out who we are. We're kind of seeing how this is going to take shape. And, you know, so many of the young guys are so willing to, you know, see what's going to come of this offense, because I don't even think they entirely know the whole personality and the identity of who they're going to be.
Right. Because that's the other thing here is that they may have a playbook, but it's completely different seeing the playbook on paper, doing it in shorts and helmets where they are now, and then putting it together in training camp. And even when you put it together in training camp and you think you know what you want to look like, you don't know if that's actually what it's going to look like when you play teams that don't know what's coming or are game planning for you, and how that plays out. And again, how does that become your identity as a football team? Do teams look at you and say, oh man, the Steelers, like they have a really strong run game, or they're pass happy, or their play action game is ridiculous. That's another thing. I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how much is play action worked into the Steelers offense, where it really hasn't been a factor for the past several years with Ben Roethlisberger. So, you know, there's so many things that I think are on the table for what this offense can be. And with all the offensive players that are young and looking to be part of establishing it, that's where I think a lot of Steelers fans' excitement is coming from, because this can go in many different directions.
Yeah, there's no limit to what it can be too, because this offense is going to look a whole lot different than what we're used to. I was talking with someone when I was running some errands earlier, and he was asking me, you know, how do things look, and you know, who's looking to be that quarterback one. I'm like, well, you know, we've talked with Mitch, we've talked with Mason, all those guys, but you're going to automatically have more mobility. Number one, I said to the guy, I'm like, you know, and he joked with me. He was like, yeah, you know, Ben would run a couple yards and everybody would get super excited about that. Just because, again, of where Ben Roethlisberger was at, no, you know, ill disrespect in that way. I'm not saying that in a negative fashion. But you know, you're already starting with a different look, even at quarterback. And then it's like, how will the offense shape around this? What are we going to see? We've talked about this too. We're probably going to see Matt Canada's true offense from what we haven't been able to really see, because again, of what was where we were last year, and you know, him working with what they knew Ben Roethlisberger brought to the table.
Certainly. And I think that's going to be a huge story for this year. Jenna, we're over our time. I got to get us out of here, because they've been punching on me for going over my minutes here. But Jenna, thanks so much for joining us here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. This is a great discussion. We love having you on every week. Let people know they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at JennaHarner11, Instagram Jenna_Harner, and on WPXI throughout the week.
You can find me, Chris Carter, at Carter Critiques on Twitter and Instagram. You can also listen to or watch the Locked On Steelers podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. You can also read my work at SteelersNow.com. We'll also be at the Omar Khan media session, his first time talking to media as Steelers GM General. We'll also be there. We'll be breaking things down. You can read my work at SteelersNow.com. You can watch what she does at Jenna Harner at WPXI TV, Channel 11 in Pittsburgh. Thanks again for checking us out. We'll be back with you on Monday here in the Locked On Steelers podcast, getting you ready for the second week of OTAs right here.